From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of April, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. Illinois Extension's Emerson Nafziger, agronomist, will be here to talk about the frost this morning, cool temperatures this week, uneven emergence of corn, and when to plant next. And then as we close out our time together, we'll get a weather forecast, too, from Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at 651 and a quarter, 12 lower. July at 607 and a half, down 7 3/4. However, the new crop December at 547 and a half, just a half cent lower. May soybeans down 18 and a quarter at $14.65 and a quarter. July 14.36, down 13, and November at 12.76 and 3/4, 8.5 lower. Bean meal futures for the day down 6.20. The bean oil, 84 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the July down 16 at 657, and the hard red July at 817 and a half, down 8 cents. Live cattle futures finished at 164.55. They were up 2.5 cents. Feeders were down 55 cents, and lean hogs were up $1.27.5. Crude oil $78.82 a barrel, 95 cents higher. Gasoline at 2.60 and 0.8 cents per gallon, up 3 2/10 cents, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average about a penny higher at 33,951, or 1 point higher to unchanged at this point. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net to discuss what happened in Chicago. Hi, Kurt. Thanks so much. Let's get started with this right away. The lead options began to fade fairly quickly. What's happening there?
Yeah, we've seen some liquidation take place. A lot of it was generated by the May deliveries, not deliveries, but option expiration. The puts and the calls went off there last Friday. Lost some open interest there. It's a little position squaring there. But then, too, the biggest culprit is that this demand's just kind of slowing. Sales have kind of been routine, and new sales, just not really robust. We saw a cancellation from China on this old corn. They canceled about 327,000 tons of purchases. And the significance of that is we're in the time window in here where corn sales and shipments pick up momentum. We've gone through the bean side of the equation. Now the corn side of the equation is supposed to take over. It's just not happening. Part of that is Brazilian beans, $1.90, $2 cheaper. You got to remember, they will always be cheaper, but not that much cheaper. That's fairly significant. So if logistics get snarled down here and they can't get those beans shipped out, well, we could probably see paying a little higher price here for U.S. beans to keep that flow going. The other part of the South American picture is with the record crop and being so-called 2 weeks behind and logistics and backed up, we've got a forecast of a fairly good corn crop coming on in the southern hemisphere. So with that potential taking place, there's going to be another large crop coming with storage filled up, the logistics a problem. The idea is that they want to store some beans and hang on to some beans, then they'll move corn into the export channel, and corn will be a lot more readily available as we get into late summer. And that's what's kept the lid on the July contracts. But spread unwinding, the May, September, the May, July, the May D's, gave up ground in through here. That May, July moved out above 50 cents, and that's a significant spread between the two. For the commercial side of the equation, it's a lot better off to sell the cash grain instead of storing it, taking a 50 cent lower price down the road.
Are you look when you look out to the new crop, do you feel good that the new crop managed to only lose half of a cent today?
Well, yeah. There's got to be a bright spot somewhere. It was half lower, but it felt like it was higher. But it's hovering around this 550 area. We closed at 47.5. We need to stay above 5.5. So, you know, that's kind of step one. Spread unwinding kind of helped support that. New crop is just, you know, going to be some weather driven in through here. We'll see how planting progress unfolds. This afternoon's planting progress reports specs show 23 to 25% of the corn crop in the ground. Last week we were at 8%. Illinois was 10%. Soybeans trade expectations are 16 to 18% planted. Last week we were 4%, and Illinois was about 8%. You know, through here, there's a lot of guys that have their beans in the ground. They were kind of sticking their neck up through the top part here over the weekend here. So I don't know if we suffered a whole lot of damage here with the cold weather. We'll see how that unfolds here. It needs a few more days to assess that. But guys were a little slower last week versus the previous week. There's too many memories of whole cold, hard rain here end of April, 1st of May, and that's been quite a challenge to manage that through the growing season. But one thing to keep in mind is if we do see these beans get in, get them up, get them going, the idea is we'll have bigger, better yields. So if that's the case, and everybody through the central part of the Midwest going down that path, we might have to see the bean yield be raised here over time, Todd.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
Well, that's Kirk Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. Just one other thing. We'll, in a moment, talk with Emerson Napsick, agronomist here on campus at the U of I, in detail about some of this frosty weather. Although we didn't really talk a lot about the damage, he did tell me after we were done, just a quick reminder, as Kurt suggested, some of the beans maybe just have the hook up and not the cotyledon quite out of the ground. So that's the time if they got frosted on that hook and it's not just quite out of the ground, that's the time you really have to worry about beans. There's not very much of a lengthy period of time for soybeans when they might be damaged by frost, but that's the one. And so if that's where your crop was, you might want to go back out and check it. He also said if you had corn that was spiking through, because the weather has been so dry and the ground is fairly dry, that usually it's not a big deal for corn, but you might take a look at it. Of course, the growing point well below the ground at this time. But the cold air under these dry conditions can seep a little deeper, and there might be some damage to the leaf tissue on that corn plant. I don't think he was terribly worried about it, but just a couple things to keep in mind. We're now joined by Extension Agronomist for the State of Illinois Emeritus, Emerson Napsicker. Hi, Emerson. Thank you very much. You've written an article that was posted, I think, Friday to the website about the cool weather we've had, corn and soybeans, uneven emergence in both. Particularly, I think farmers are always concerned about corn a little bit when it comes up. Beans, they're used to seeing ragged in the field. However, you suggest, I believe in this, that they're not to worry too much about unevenness in the corn as it comes up, especially because of the really cold weather at this time.
Well, we do. One of our issues, we can see individual corn plants, and we can't really look at individual soybean plants. So we just pay less attention to soybeans. We generally figure as long as they're up, why, that's all it takes. And it's nice to see them come up evenly down the row and across the field, just like we see corn coming up. But we don't have, you know, too much of an emotional response when they don't, I guess. Soybeans have a harder time coming up. They have to pull their cotyledons through the soil and get coming up. And, you know, with frost here this morning, it's good they weren't starting to come up, because there's about a day's time when a soybean plant can be killed by frost. And corn would be pretty safe at this point, unless it was up in the leaf area, got frozen off. But yes, unevenness. What my real point of this was to say, you know, we keep seeing in farm press and people that I guess want to show us that they've paid a lot of attention to the crop, that corn plants that come up, you know, 12 or 24 or 48 hours later than their neighbors are just going to turn into weeds, and it'd be better if they didn't come up. That's certainly not the case. We've done studies on forcing the plant to come up unevenly by planting, hand planting them at different times, and it takes a pretty good degree of difference in not just in planting date, but we need to keep in mind when it's cool temperatures like this, you know, a difference that might have been 12 hours with warm temperatures might turn into 3 days or 4 days when we're getting so few growing degree days here to get this crop up and growing. And so the unevenness in the time of emergence, if we measure it in days, it, when it's cool like this, is always going to look worse and seem worse. And if we're taking notes, it will, you know, we'll say this thing came up 4 days apart. They're doomed. And the fact of the matter is that 4 days or 5 days with a high of 60 degrees gives you five growing degree days. And, you know, it takes about 110 or 115 growing degree days to get a crop to come up. So it takes a long time to come up. And if it's cool when the crop is emerging, that's going to stretch out this range from the earliest emergers to the late emergers. It really can't help doing that. The other point I made was that, you know, people have spent a lot of time looking at the unevenness in corn ear size. And so we look forward at the end of the season. We say, well, the ear size is just going to be really small if these things came up late. As a matter of fact, when we crowd plants together like we do corn plants, ear size is pretty variable. Even a plant, a stand that looks completely uniform, and you look down the row and there's all these beautiful ears there, and you take the husks back and take a picture. If you actually take ears off and weigh the grain on them, they're not as uniform as they look. And people have spent a lot of time trying to figure out at what point during the season do they become uneven like that. And we haven't made much progress on that. You know, if you can observe them, we did a study a few years ago where we were looking at stem diameter and leaf area and leaf orientation and things like that. And the competition between one corn plant and the next corn plant is a pretty complicated thing. And I'm not sure we're ever going to get very close to the truth on it. The other thing I would mention is we're not sure whether that unevenness really costs a lot of yield or if costs any yield. It's a hard thing to prove because one ear will be small and the next ear to it and the next plant to it will have a larger ear. And we've looked at spacing and we've looked at all kinds of things and we just cannot come up with something that says, well, when this plant is like this, when it's knee high, it's just going to have a small ear. It really doesn't work that way. And I think the message is these plants are genetically very uniform. I made the comment in the article that refuge in a bag does bring in some different genetics, but they're carefully matched so they don't look different. So there's a lot of the genetic uniformity out there is way better than the actual uniformity in ear size. You know, if we took plant leaves off and saw how much leaf area, these kinds of things take place over a season long of competition between adjoining plants, and plants compete across the row. We don't think about that, but we know that they do. So it's a really complicated thing. And I think, you know, if we're doing a good job of managing and putting seed in a good condition, uniformity of emergence is probably better than it's ever been, because seed quality is so good, genetic uniformity is good, and our planters can place it into really nice uniform soil conditions. And so I think it's something we should quit worrying about. And you know, people will continue to say, well, I went out there and flagged the ones that came up late, and then I went back and here they had smaller ears on them. You know, that's possibly true, but the ears next to them might have been a little bigger. And I think it's something we should probably be a little bit less concerned about.
Yeah. So for the producer who's watching their corn crop come up this week, say it was planted early last week or the previous week, and it's up, maybe it's spiked through, probably don't have to worry about the frost if it's only spiked through that frost this morning. And you say it's growing degree days and not the number of days, so there could be 3, 4, 5 days between plants coming up, and not to worry about that unevenness as it's related to replant, I'm going to guess. And then,
well, that's correct. If you look forward, Todd, and you say, what's a, you know, if it takes five growing degree days a day and it takes 3 days to come up, that's 15 growing degree days. In June, 15 growing degree days is part of a day. And so those plants are going to catch up for sure by the time it gets warm.
And then if you've got corn and or bean fields left to plant, and everybody will, do you plant them this week in the cold weather, and given what we think rainfall is going to be like next week, or do you wait?
I put, you know, and I've thought for a long time, the ideal is to have it warm when you plant and stay warm. We can't dial that up, but it probably should make us feel a little bit less like we've got it made, you know, and high yields guaranteed when we're able to plant in April when it's so cool that the crop just sits there. I think it's a toss-up a little bit. People that have, you know, very large acreages to plant might be more interested in planting. I think we can be fairly relaxed about when we plant. When it's this dry at this point in the season, and this is a real rarity, then it, you know, it would take a good inch and a half of rain in a lot of places to have us stay out of the fields very long, at least if it warmed up. Now, when the soils are cool, the crop's not going to grow very much or do very much anyway. So it doesn't harm too much if it's cool and dry out there. Our big concern in stands is always that it gets too wet. And that's just not happened at all this year in most areas. So, you know, I just think, you know, I just calculated this morning here in Champaign, their growing degree day accumulations for this whole week is supposed to total 35. And 35 is, you know, less than a third of what it takes to get a crop to come up. So it's going to warm up, but the forecast, I was just looking at the forecast going 15 days out, and it's not going to warm up very fast. And we're kind of disappointed with that. You know, our prototype warm after planting and staying warm was 2018. And we just put a crop into terrific condition for good yields by the end of May in 2018, even though it wasn't planted early. And so that's the kind of the, you know, I said in the article, if we could just push a button and make it that way every year, we would. Temperature becomes the thing that, you know, we're just going to have to wait it out. You can't do anything about it. Nobody can replant because their crop's coming up unevenly. At least they shouldn't when it's temperature related and just a sort of a natural thing. So that's a long answer to a simple question. And if I had 3 or 4 more days left to plant, I may well just wait till next week to do it with corn or soybeans. I'm not too sure it makes too much difference at this point which one we're planting. Well, last year when we planted in April, you know, we actually got lower yields in a lot of places than if we planted in the mid-May or after. But that got really wet after that late April planting last year, and really warm. And that wasn't enough to, you know, the warmth wasn't enough to get the crop to really take off like we'd like. So we can, you know, nobody can really guess the weather very well. It seems to me a few weeks ago we were looking at a forecast for warm temperatures coming in by this point, and it didn't happen. So we'll take our chances. It will warm up at some point. Our growing degree days for April are going to end up being not too far off normal, but it's going to be a upside down thing where we got more of the first half, or at least the first two thirds per day than we're going to get the last third.
It's Emerson Navsiger. He is an extension agronomist emeritus with University of Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You're traveling today. What are you doing?
Attending a dairy conference here in downtown Chicago, presenting on weather and climate impacts here, looking ahead.
Excellent. Excellent. They probably, while they're dairy farmers, I'm going to guess that they're also have a corn crop that they are trying to plant. I'm wondering what you see for the Midwest this week. Looks like it's going to be cool, and more importantly, next week.
Yeah, that's cooler than normal pattern that has really set up shop here in the Corn Belt. Looks to have some legs to it. It's going to continue all this week and even on into next week as well. So from now through the first few days of May, it's looking unseasonably cool. That's the bad news. At least the good news is that rainfall looks to register below normal. So while it's unseasonably cool, at least there will be less days with rain here coming up. But obviously would like soil temperatures to increase as planting continues.
I want to come back to that point, but if you get further into May, how quickly do we turn things around and start to warm up, and does it rain then?
Yeah, certainly indications as we look out kind of 3-4 weeks out in the future, indications of the upper level pattern flattening out a bit and beginning to at least get into something closer to a normal or seasonal pattern here. So actually some hope here at the end of the 3- and 4-week outlook, and likely that will come with some rain. No indication right now of it turning exceptionally wet at that time, but something to keep an eye on as that transition takes place.
I do keep track of year-to-date rainfall across a lot of the Corn Belt, particularly in Illinois, to the west of Springfield. I think this is the first week that they have fallen behind the year-to-date normal rainfall total average. I doubt that that's much of a concern, but I don't know whether it's an indicator of anything.
Certainly something to keep an eye on here, especially given that we're still transitioning now towards El Nino, but there's this cooler pocket of waters out in the Pacific, the cold horseshoe, a negative PDO that is in place. And so that's something to watch that down the road in the middle of summer could present some dryness risks.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Enjoy the dairy conference. That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.